Good morning. On this Memorial Day weekend, I would like to read this prayer in honor of those that have died so that others may have freedom, written by Austin Fleming. In the quiet sanctuaries of our hearts, let each of us name and call on the one whose power over us is great and gentle, firm and forgiving, holy and healing. You who created us, who sustain us, who call us to live in peace, hear our prayer this day. Hear our prayer for all who have died, whose hearts and hopes are known to you alone. Hear our prayer for those who put the welfare of others ahead of their own, and give us hearts as generous as theirs. Hear our prayer for those who gave their lives in the service of others and accept the gift of their sacrifice. Help us to shape and make a world where we will lay down the arms of war and turn our swords into plowshares for a harvest of justice and peace. Comfort those who grieve the loss of their loved ones, and let your healing be the hope in our hearts. Hear our prayer this day, and in your mercy answer us, in the name of that that is holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Good morning. Delighted that God has brought you to worship with us on this Memorial Day weekend. Know that all are welcome. And to best welcome you, we invite any who are new, who are first-time guests with us today, to fill out one of the guest cards in the pew rack in front of you and place that in the offering plate today as you're offering with us. It is a delight and a joy to have you here. I have a quick announcement for you. That is that next Sunday, we will be worshiping outside. As one of the four worship services that we'll be doing outside this summer. And all of them will have a different theme. Next Sunday is Camp Sunday. So the counselors from Caroline Furnace will be here, and they will be helping to lead the worship service. And so it'll be kind of like a camp-style service if you've ever been to camp. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll be doing that outside, weather permitting, of course. If the weather doesn't work, then we'll be in Discipleship Hall. And then that'll be happening next Sunday, so I want to let you know. Feel free to bring some chairs, bring some outdoor chairs if you'd like, and sit and relax. You know, you have those ones that you lean back on. Feel free, you know, just chill out, get a tan during worship. How cool would that be? So we invite you to come and be with us next Sunday for that experience. Also, if you're on the Germany trip and you're going, we're going to have a brief meeting. Well, it won't be brief, but we're going to have a meeting after service at 11 o'clock. Out at Venice Italia restaurant right down here. We're going to have lunch together and hang out and talk a little bit about the trip. So if you're going to Germany with us this August, please join us for that. We have a special person here today who's going to share about a wonderful ministry that's happening at Bethel. One of the things that we're doing, helping to build the Shalom Home for Girls. And I'd like to invite Stevie Wonder is with us today. Although he spells it W-A-N-D-E-R. But Steve Wonder is here, and I would like for you to share a little bit about the Shalom Home. And if you want to get up here and if you want to sing Satisfaction for us, go for it. We'd like that as well.
Good morning. I am Steve Wonder, and I know many of you, but I know that there's many of you who don't know who I am. And just to give you a little background, my association with Bethel began about 5 years ago, stemming primarily from a long-standing friendship from someone I'm sure you all do know, Rex Ritchie. And of course, I'm trusting that you won't hold that against me. But in any event, I'm here this morning to speak on behalf of the current funding campaign that we're involved in now for the Shalom Home for Girls. And I should also mention that Rex and I will be available after the service this morning back here to answer any questions you might have or to hand out some materials that you might want or need. But in any event, please come by just for a chat if you're willing to do that. My message this morning here, it's all about opportunities. And soon after I started coming to Bethel, I was offered the chance of being a member of the Bethel team that was being formed to visit the Bethania Kids Missions in India. Now, I will have to admit that I initially had some concerns, not about the mission itself, of course, but about the travel involved. At that point in time, I had just recently retired from a career that required an extensive amount, involved an extensive amount of travel, and flying, for me, had long ago since lost its considerable power to charm. But I knew the moment that the offer was made that this was an opportunity that I really couldn't pass up, and I'm very, very glad that I didn't. Personally, the mission trip, and I think I could speak for the team as well, mission trip was a profoundly moving experience, actually a collective set of experiences that were at once inspirational, emotional, certainly, educational, and at even times heartbreaking. But as I prepared for this talk, one particular experience came to mind, and I think it's particularly relevant to the subject at hand. We were at the very end of our trip, and we were scheduled to visit the Grace Girls Home, or Grace Home for Girls, in Nagercoil, which is in the southern tip of India. And being that this was our last official stop of our tour, we were invited, the team was invited, to spend the night at the home, which we considered to be a great honor, and we were very happy to do. As was my and is my habit, I was up very early in the morning, about 4 a.m. actually, and I was decided I'd walk around the facility and maybe enjoy a little bit of the early, relatively cool early morning air. And as I turned the corner onto a large or long corridor, I was startled to see what appeared to be virtually every one of the girls in that home was sitting on the floor, quietly sitting on the floor in this long hallway, their textbooks open, studying, obviously getting a head start on their lessons for the day. And as I've looked back on this, I've come to understand or come to realize that this one small event was kind of essentially captured what the team, and here I'm going to take some liberty in speaking for the team, what the team had observed and experienced over our 2 weeks of visits to the various BK homes and daycare centers and after-school centers. And that was the fact that these young girls, and indeed all of the young people that we met, clearly understood and fully embraced the opportunity they had been given. And they were determined to take full advantage of that opportunity. I offer as corroborative evidence the latest Bethania Kids newsletter, which notes that of 26 national scholarships that the government from India sponsors for girls, 5 of those 26 scholarships were awarded to girls from the girls, Grace Girls Home in Nagercoil. To me, that's an amazing and revealing statistic, and telling statistic. Okay. So we now have our own opportunity. As currently envisioned, I think the Shalom Home will be able to accommodate about 60 girls, providing, of course, the basics of food, clothing, and shelter, but more importantly, providing or creating an opportunity and an environment for these young people to grow intellectually, academically, more importantly, spiritually. So I do believe we've been given a very, very special opportunity. An opportunity to take an active role, become an active part of enhancing and expanding the lives of these precious children of God. An opportunity to match their dedication, devotion, and determination. Indeed, an opportunity that I'm confident we'll find we simply can't afford to pass up. Thank you very much. And thank you, Rex.
Steve drives over from over near D.C. regularly to worship with us, and we are delighted with you being a part of this with us, Steve. Thank you so much, my friend. And love music. Love your music. All right. His name is Steve Wonder, people. Wake up. At what point are you going to laugh at my jokes? They are funny. Let us now continue with the call to worship. Today is Ascension Sunday, a special Sunday we don't always celebrate, where we remember the ascension of our Lord back home. And so we gather now to remember that throughout our worship and our readings and thinking of where Jesus is now. Let us stand. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our God has ascended with a mighty shout.
The Lord has ascended with trumpet's blaring.
Come, let us sing praise to God together.
For our God is sovereign over all the earth.
Come and worship, people of God.
Let's celebrate with songs of praise.
For our God, the Most High, is seated on His holy throne.
Sovereign.
Let's worship God together. Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son Jesus Christ suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ in each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
For those of you who go to Second Service, I am not Stephanie Mahan. I am Rachel Carlson. Stephanie is on a lake sailing, where I think we all would like to be today. No offense. No offense. Let us pray. Dear God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. In today's reading, grant that we may hear and learn your word, so that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first reading comes from the first chapter of Acts. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to the heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ. Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
seated. Grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Rachel, if you'd have said, "I know everybody wants to be on the golf course," I'd have been with you. Many years ago, when I was serving my church in Cincinnati, we had a preschool called TLC. And at the preschool, I had a I would do chapel for the kids once a month, and I had a little friend. You might have seen this friend of mine in my office. His name is Manny the Moose. It's short for Emmanuel. All right? Manny the Moose. And I used to bring Manny up, and Manny and I would talk with the kids, and I'm a really good ventriloquist. Watch. "Manny, how you doing?" "I'm doing great. How are you doing, Pastor Dave?" "Oh, man, I'm really great. Is your voice okay?" "Yeah, I just had a little something happen, yeah." But anyway, actually, I'm not very good. They all would load. "You're using your voice." And I go, "Yeah, I am." But in any case, Manny and I would sit and talk to the kids. And I remember one time we were sitting down like this, and the kids were, and there were several kids right here. And Manny and I were sitting there, and I said, "Well, Manny has a question for you kids." And he goes, "Okay, kids, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus?" And one of the little kids pointed up to the cross and said, "There's Jesus." And see, we didn't have a cross that actually has Jesus on it like we do here. There was not, but he pointed up to the cross and said, "Jesus is on the cross." That's very good. And then this other kid raised his hand, and he must have been Catholic or something, because he pointed to the altar and says, "Jesus is in the bread and wine." I was like, that's pretty advanced for preschool. Well done. And then the other little kid pointed straight up, said, "Jesus is up there." And I sat there with Manny, and Manny would agree, that those three little kids had been quite theologically profound. I was, where's Jesus? You know, we have just not too long ago come through the Lenten season, and at the heart of the Lenten season is indeed Jesus up there on the cross, up there. And at the heart of it is that as Christians, one of the things we have to come to recognize, to wrestle with, is the idea that we are broken people, that we are imperfect, that we do not live as God would have us live all the time, and that reality of brokenness is what the church has called sin, the sinfulness. But that sin does not ultimately claim us, because Jesus, as the church has taught, when Jesus was up there, Jesus took on that power of sin and defeated it. So Jesus had to be there so that we could bridge this chasm between the holiness of God and the sinfulness of humanity. That chasm is bridged in a cross where Jesus holds them both together. And you now have a bridge to God. So Jesus has to be up there. Yet there's something powerful about Jesus. Manny knows this because his name is Emmanuel. Manny, you want to tell them what your name means?
It means God with us.
It does. It means God with us. And so how is God with us? Well, God is with us in so many ways, but one of the ways that we talk about that we experience God's grace in this world are through what we call the means of grace. And one of the ways we do that is through water at baptism, mysteriously. It doesn't have to be holy water. I remember one time I did a baptism, and the family brought back holy water from Jerusalem to be baptized in. And I was like, that's great. I'm so glad we'll use it. Well, I don't want it tainting. I don't want the other water tainting it. So they only wanted to be baptized with the holy water from Jerusalem. And I said, let me let you in on a secret. All water is God's water. And all water is holy water when it's blessed in the name of Jesus. And they said, oh, okay. And they supported it, and it worked out just fine. Worked out beautifully. And so whenever we experience baptism, these words of Jesus make that holy water and make that a means of experiencing God's grace, symbolically, but real, we are washed anew. And then in this holy meal that this wonderful young Catholic boy pointed out in preschool, he even knew that Jesus was in the bread and the wine. And that's what we say. Not quite how the Catholics say it, but we say it nonetheless. We say that we experience that. We experience Jesus in the bread and wine. Mysteriously, it's still bread. It's still wine. It doesn't. The accidents don't change. But what we do say is that God is there. Mysteriously, Jesus is with us, nourishing our hearts and our souls in that meal. So Jesus is there, and Jesus is there. But then the answer that most people give when you say, where is Jesus? And by our lesson today, it tells us that he ascended into heaven. We would say Jesus is there in heaven. Now, next Sunday, we will celebrate Pentecost. And that's the gift. If you look over here at our windows, the teaching. You'll see in the center piece, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit being given to the people. And you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, it says. And the gift of the Holy Spirit will be given to us. It is the gift of Jesus, though, that we experience next week. So while Jesus ascends to heaven, his Spirit then comes and is given to his followers, to his people, to you, to me. So there's a real sense of saying that not only is Jesus there on the cross, where he becomes the bridge between, over the chasm of sinfulness, and becomes the bridge between humanity and the divine. He is here in the gifts of water and bread and wine, wonderful means where we experience and remember the gift of grace. But the Spirit of Jesus is also in heaven where he is living with the Father, but his Spirit comes to us through the gift of Pentecost. And so the Spirit of Jesus is alive in you and me, wherever and whenever we are living out His call. You know, I've always thought that we talk and we should about resurrection and the resurrecting nature of the end time and of the end of our lives. We die and then one day we will be resurrected and that's a beautiful thing. But one of the things that I think is even perhaps more beautiful in the gift of the Spirit given to us, is that we can be resurrected daily. In fact, we, like Jesus, can be lifted higher than we would ever thought we could be. In your life, you can be lifted to a place of forgiveness that you thought, there's no way I'll ever be able to find forgiveness. You can be lifted to a place of mercy where you rarely thought you could ever be. You can be lifted to a place of discipline, where you live your life in a way that you never thought you would before. Maybe keep yourself out of harmful situations or harmful behaviors. You can be lifted up in the name of Jesus so as to be gracious, so as to be merciful, so as, and I need help with this one this morning dealing with my kids, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Amen. I can be lifted up, Jesus, lift me up. The reality is this. Jesus not only went to the cross for us. Jesus not only gives of himself so that we can experience his presence now. Jesus not only offers his spirit to us, but he lifts us all to a place where this world begins to start looking a little bit more like the kingdom that he's gone to. The heaven that he portends. The promise that he desires. The abundant life that he invites for you and for me in this world. May our Lord lift us all. May you find in the presence of Jesus and those around you one who is not only reminding you of your forgiveness and nourishing you with his grace, but lifting you beyond your own brokenness so that you can be and live as Jesus would have you be and live. And we can. Indeed, you can and you will. For that is Jesus' promise to those who follow him. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may kneel or be seated. Rejoicing in the risen life of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church. Keep us steadfast in your word. Shape us according to your will. Heal our divisions. Protect us from discord. Unite us in your love. Empower us for mission. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the earth, for forests and vineyards, marshes and springs, for grasslands and pastures, farmlands and orchards, protect your creation from damage by earthquake, flood, wind, drought, fire, or hail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the nations, for those who govern and all who hold authority, for those who have been displaced by warfare, economic hardship, or disaster. Bring freedom, justice, and stability to areas of conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those in need, for those who are anxious, for those who suffer abuse or neglect, for those who are hungry or homeless, for those who grieve and all who are sick, especially Marlene, the family of Amy Jaster, the Gabe family, Tom, Colleen, Christine, Eileen and Dennis, Michael, David Jr. and family, Irma and Ron, Mark and family, Sophia, Suzanne, David, Don, Mel, Roseanne Evers, the family and friends of Reese Bowman, Katie, Matt, and Kylan, the newborn baby girl, Madeline Tolson, Debbie and Bill, Mark, Brandon, Gretchen, Jim, Gary, Patty, Mark, Isla, Judy, Donald, Donna, Ashley, the family of Jose Cabrera, Brent, and Janice, and those we now pray their names either in our hearts or aloud. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For this assembly, deepen our lives of prayer, open us to the guiding of your Spirit, fill us with compassion, nourish us at your holy table, strengthen us in service to our community. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the Bethel Church members and friends that have chosen to sponsor a child at Bethea's Homes for Kids. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially our loved ones and those who have given their lives in service. Inspire us by their example and bring us to your eternal home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Joining our voices with our faithful ones, in every time and place, we offer our prayers in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Lord be with you,
and also with you.
May you share the peace.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup after supper. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us now sing together the prayer that our Lord taught us. Welcome at our family meal of Thanksgiving. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Let us stand. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace. Amen. One of the neat things about being in worship together during the summer is it was really fun to give communion to people from first service followed by people from second service. And to say, oh, look how cool that is. All these awesome people getting to hang out with each other. And so that is the beauty of the summer worship, and I hope that you enjoy that wonderful blessing as well. And so may God, who has brought us from death to life, fill you with great joy, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Christ is risen. You are the body of Christ raised up from the world. Go in peace and share the good news.